That's why it's important for the organization, the leadership within these organizations, to step up and realize the importance of valuing employees and valuing your people and training your leaders to be effective.
This is the Leadership Communication Show, a podcast to help people like you be the inspiring and influential leaders their people need. I'm Michael Paperno, and I'm a communication expert, teacher, and coach. My personal mission is to help good leaders be great leaders through the power of communication. I promise you'll learn something from each guest on this show that will help you along your personal leadership journey. Okay, on with the show. Today's conversation is with Pam Weston, a senior communications strategist with more than 20 years of experience leading a variety of communications programs, including employee engagement, corporate philanthropy, internal communications, public relations, and community affairs. Pam is the CEO and owner of Progress Partners, a consulting firm located in the St. Louis metropolitan area. And her expertise has guided leaders in industries ranging from financial services to information technology to healthcare and consumer information solutions. She recently published her first book called Executive Briefing: People Goals because she's passionate about building productive relationships in the workplace. In the book, Pam offers constructive and easy-to-implement strategies gained from her experience leading high-level engagement programs. Welcome to the show, Pam.
Thank you for having me.
I'm glad you're here. So let's start by telling my listeners a little bit more about you and your background, Pam. Tell us, what's your story?
So most of my career has been working as a senior internal communications leader, working with C-suite leaders and executives within corporations and helping them to develop programs to engage their employees and communicate more effectively with the employees. And I've also worked closely with employees at all levels in the organization, just focusing on advancing business priorities while leading those internal communications programs. And, you know, the thread in these roles has always been educating employees to help them understand how their jobs connect to the business strategy.
What inspired you to write your book, Executive Briefing People Goals?
Years ago, I was working in an organization and specifically on a campaign to showcase how different areas of a company's culture could be demonstrated by the different departments in the organization. And doing the work on this project, it brought together executive leaders across the organizations and their employees to determine how they would portray how their department impacts the culture. And I noticed how well some of the leaders interacted with those teams and how they joined in the brainstorming and scripting and creating the video series. And just seeing that level of engagement and camaraderie showed to me how important it was in building relationships. It showed how important it was to me in building relationships as far as engaging your team. So that kind of sparked the idea for my book.
Engagement's kind of a word that we hear a lot in the business world and definitely in internal communications. And it can have, I mean, it has its meaning that I think that I assign to it. But what does good engagement in the business world, you know, really look like?
A straightforward definition of employee engagement is the connection that employees have with their manager, their job, and then the company that they work for, and all of that goes together to influence how they show up every day. And from my perspective, the heart of employee engagement is building relationships and connecting with employees.
So one of the things I heard you say, Pam, was about connection. And I really love that because I think that that's something that is lacking in a lot of the business world. People haven't connected, you know, their own role to the goals of the business. And I always say with people, you know, how can you expect people to be really invested and inspired in the mission if you're not communicating with them where we're going and the why of why we're all here, what we're doing, and how my role in the organization or someone's role in the organization supports that? One of the things you said to me when we were talking before we started to record the podcast was that managers really need to own employee engagement. Tell my listeners what you mean about that, by that.
What I mean about that is, you know, managers should feel that they're responsible for setting the environment that allows employees to thrive at work, So take the responsibility to own the experiences that employees have with you every day.
And what are some of the things that you've seen managers or leaders get wrong when it comes to employee engagement? Is there a list of things that blind spots that leaders have, or, you know, can you give us some examples?
One of the most important things for leaders to remember is that people want to know that you care, and employees want to know that you care about their development, their career pathing, and how they manage priorities in the office and outside of the workplace. I also think that many times leaders and managers don't own employee engagement, and they don't realize that employee engagement is personal and it has to be intentional. So leaders have to own how their employees experience their time on a daily basis. And one other blind spot that I would say is leaders and managers have to be honest and ensure that they have their team's best interests at heart. And they can do this by focusing on establishing and cultivating mutually productive relationships. It's not a one-sided thing.
So it really is all about relationships, which is why I wanted to talk to you, because I'm big on that. A lot of times, especially in the United States work culture, it's kind of like we're told to, at least I was in the, you know, in my 30-year career, less so these days, but more so, you know, back 20 years ago, was like, personal life stays at home, don't bring your emotions to work. And that's just so not human to have that kind of attitude. So I really like the work that people like you are doing to try to help leaders really say, you know, sure, there's an appropriateness for certain things in the work world and the home world, but the human is going to bring their life to work whether you like it or not.
And that's correct. And then one of the biggest best experiences that an employee can have is to know that their manager is an advocate for them in terms of their success internally as well as externally, and supports their advancement wherever that employee chooses to grow.
And that's so important. And I guess the question that comes into my mind is, we're talking about what leaders can do to make sure that their employees are engaged. What can an employee do when they have a leader who is not looking out for those things, or doesn't really have their back, or isn't looking out for their well-being at work? Any tips there?
Yes, I would say, you know, if you're in a situation where you have a leader who you don't feel is an advocate for you, it's always appropriate to have a conversation and voice that concern in the best and most respectful way, and then own your career and determine if that's the place where you want to continue to be planted. If not, find where else you can grow.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it is all about the conversation, because it's also assuming positive intent and giving the benefit of the doubt. You know, that leader might not have the skills of empathy, or may not be as good as you are at reading the room and understanding how people are feeling and taking the temperature of the staff and the room and everything. So sometimes when you, as the employee, can open the door to those conversations, you're actually helping that leader. Now, of course, there are leaders that are just not good or who don't care. They're out there.
And that's true. And, you know, one of the biggest misses that organizations as a whole make is not developing managers to lead effectively with a focus on employee engagement and empathy. We often see individuals progress within a company due to a technical skill or being a subject matter expert. And as they progress, they complete targeted training and certifications. The same effort should be made once the person's identified for a role with the potential to be a people leader within the organization. So preparing those managers to lead their teams is critical to the success of the organization. And that's something that organizations can shift their mindset on and start to improve those relationships in the workplace.
Yeah. And what I see a lot, Pam, is people, they've neglected that part of the development of a leader. And then they want one team building event or a weekend retreat to get them up to speed fast. And that's just, you can't have that's not how it works. So I love that you talked about that shift in the mindset of, just to step back, I always say to people, your experience and your achievements don't make you a leader. They can often get you promoted, but they don't make you a good leader. A good leader is someone who is concerned about all things in the business, but also about the people on the team and who is going to be an advocate, who is going to be a coach. There's a lot more to it than just having a certain level of expertise that gets you into that position. So there's executive presence, there's communications, there's just so many things that go into it. So I love what you said about making sure that as you're developing people, you can develop them as a leader as well.
That's correct. It just has to be intentional within the organization.
There's the word, intentional. And a lot of times we go about our work life, you know, just trying to get the next goal done or the next task done. And we start to lose sight a little bit sometimes of that, of being intentional and making sure that we're developing more than just the bottom line for the business.
That's so true. That's so true.
And it helps with retention too, right? I mean, if your employees are engaged, especially in times that we're in right now where people are having such a hard time retaining people, I would imagine that a good boost in employee engagement is going to help with future retention.
Definitely, because right now, according to Gallup, only 32% of U.S. workers are engaged. So, you know, there's a lot of work to do. And I believe the cost of an employee leaving a company has been estimated to be 33% of their salary. Wow. So there's a big hit to the organization when an employee leaves, and it typically outweighs the cost of engaging them while they're within the organization.
Right, right. Yeah, when I hear that number that only 32% of employees, according to the research, are engaged, that's kind of a sad number, isn't it?
Yeah, it actually we were just a little bit above that for several years. And then this year, over the last year or so, it took a hit. And then what's even more staggering is the statistics show that actively engaged, disengaged employees cost companies upwards of nearly $6 billion each year. So If there was ever a case for employee engagement, that's the case. That's the business case.
That's the business case. Yeah, absolutely. That's a staggering number as well. So you think about if people would invest a little bit more in the upfront, that we could bring that number down and improve the percentage of people who are engaged. And it's just a hard thing to think about because we spend so much of our lives at work, and to have almost 70% of the population not feeling engaged at work, I guess for me, that's one of the reasons I've had so many career changes, because I've been unengaged and had to do something about that. But I have an entrepreneurial mindset. A lot of people I understand don't. So that must feel just really horrible for people to be stuck in something that they have to do until quote unquote retirement age that their heart isn't into.
Right. And it's really unfortunate for a lot of employees to have to suffer through those type of work environments. That's why it's important for the organization, the leadership within these organizations, to step up and realize the importance of valuing employees and valuing your people and training your leaders to be effective. And then also understand how building those productive relationships will extend to retaining employees and meeting mutual goals.
And what does a good training program look like? I'm sure there's a lot of different ways to do it, but do you have any thoughts on how someone who's listening to us today and saying, oh boy, I haven't put enough investment into my leaders, and you know what Pam and Michael are talking about, I don't want to be contributing to that. I want people to be engaged. I want my leaders to be doing the job that they need to be doing for their people so that we can retain and have a more productive and fulfilled staff. So what can managers, leaders, owners of businesses or whatever do to help train these folks?
There are a lot of opportunities available for managers, for leaders to also educate and train their staff to lead more effectively. One of the things that I would share is that, you know, I will be launching an on-demand employee engagement course.
Oh, great.
The idea is that this provides the companies with an opportunity to easily invest in developing managers in their organizations, whether they are in person, hybrid, or remote, because now we're in a different type of work environment. Everybody's not together in one room learning. And then also just reemphasizing the importance of owning employee engagement. It's a self-paced course that allows the leaders and emerging leaders to take a deep dive into understanding the different components of employee engagement. You know, number one, what is employee engagement? Number two, what are some of the things that you can do to make sure that your employee feels like they're being heard at work and that you care about their development? And different tactics like that. And they can implement these things immediately to improve the relationships in the workplace.
So two things you said there, which I really liked, and congratulations on putting together a program like that. I know how much work it is to put those together. But I liked how you talked about emerging leaders there, because that's one thing that I noticed that my clients often don't get right, is that they put people through leadership development programs when there's a problem, rather than helping someone develop, helping a high potential start to get in on the skills early and really set them up for as much success as a leader. Again, it goes back to that, you know, putting someone who's a high potential, giving them that management title, that leadership title, without all of the good training that goes with it. So thank you for including the emerging leaders in the work that you're doing. And the other thing is relationships. One of the things that you and I talked about in our past conversation was it's really important for managers and leaders and owners and anybody who has, you know, stake in a business to make relationships a core business goal. Because a lot of times we're talking about all these other goals, but the health of your team depends on the relationships that they're forging and whether or not things get done or don't get done, and if people are engaged and are satisfied.
That's correct. You know, employee engagement stems from building relationships. And then over time, as the relationships are cultivated, we'll see the growth in the individual, the team, and the company. So it's not just a one-way thing. Employees have a stake in it too. However, managers should be responsible for setting the stage so that employees can thrive while they're in the workplace.
And we'll be right back. The Leadership Communication Show is brought to you by the Comvia Group, your source for leadership communication and workplace relationships coaching and training. Visit wearecomvia, that's wearecomvia.com, to learn more. If you're a senior leader in healthcare who's thinking about making the transition to the early and mid-stage life sciences world, the Comvia Group's Write the Next Chapter of Your Career program is for you. Learn more and get access to a free preview at www.wearecomvia.com/next chapter. That's www.wearecomvia.com/next chapter. And now back to the show. So Pam, you mentioned the manager mindset a few moments ago. Let's kind of revisit that a little bit. What can you suggest to folks to help with that when it comes to engaging employees?
With the manager mindset in relation to employee engagement, I think about, you know, our thoughts influence our behavior and how we interact with other people. And many times we attach how we interact with people based on their position within the organization or the position that they hold. Mm-hmm. In reality, every person deserves the same level of respect and the same level of consideration when you're interacting with them in the workplace. So I often ask managers to think about what their perceptions of their employees are. How do they view them? Do they view them as a simple resource to get the job done, or do they value them as a part of their team that can help them meet their goals and that who they can help meet their goals as well?
So important. Yeah. And that's easy to do, is to kind of, I don't know whether it's biases or if it's, you know, position power and all of that stuff, you know, really getting yourself as a leader in check on that to make sure that you are level setting and making sure that you are providing that same level of respect to everybody up and down the chain of command. That's takes work to do that.
Yeah, it does. And, you know, we have to be honest and we have to just self-reflect and determine, are we modeling the behaviors that we would want the rest of our teams to model? And if we're honest, then we'll see where we can make some adjustments and then also enhance areas that we're actually doing pretty well in.
Right. And that self-awareness piece is big, and a lot, some people have a hard time with it.
You know? That is so true. That is, but we have to do it. We have to do it.
I agree. It's hard work, and I think that the best leaders are the ones that realize that that's part of the game here and are willing to do that hard work, because sometimes it's not all positive self-reflection. It's like, oh boy, you know, I really messed up that one, or I could have handled that better, and why did that happen? Go deeper. Well, I wasn't thinking about the human. I wasn't showing respect. I wasn't whatever it may be, but those are hard lessons to learn sometimes. And I think that a lot of times people, I don't know, for some people, it's just easier to just chalk it up to, oops, made a mistake, move on, keep on moving, but that's not always the right thing to do.
That's true. And I think that managers are the most influential people within the organization. They're, you know, in the middle. They're the connection between the employees and oftentimes the frontline workers and then the leadership. And so that's why it's even more important to make sure that you're developing those individuals and that you're imparting to them the importance of valuing their teams and focusing on developing these long-lasting relationships that can connect and connect the dots in the organization.
And if you're not doing that work and if you're not modeling the behavior that you want to see, guess what ends up happening is people clam up, people are quiet, and then you don't know that there's dissatisfaction, and then you don't know that there could be problems with your product or whatever because you're creating a culture where people don't feel that they matter or the work they do matter or their voice matters. And I see it over and over again. Even some companies that say they do a great job with treating their employees well, that's different than free soda machines and a wellness center. I mean, it's much deeper than that. So modeling the behavior that you seek is critically important. But I just feel that one of the reasons a lot of employees are just so disengaged and that number is so low of 32% being engaged is because a lot of managers aren't doing the job of making their people feel heard, valued, and safe to speak up. I think that's a big part of it too.
Yes, and I agree with that. And also, I really want to be supportive of managers in the workplace because the leadership has to value their managers as well. They have to value the fact that they need to focus on developing them to get the best out of their employees. Just think about, as a manager, how much better their job could be if their team was engaged, if their team were performing at their full potential. And so if you look across your organization and you see areas where there are some teams that are extremely engaged, they're working well together, you can actually see the relationships that they have. View that as a sign to see if it's working throughout the organization and what is that leader doing? And then replicate that as much as possible across the organization by investing in your managers.
And a lot of people who folks may say, oh, well, you know, Michael and Pam are talking about, you know, this kind of ideal, like it's never going to be that every single one of my employees is engaged every moment of the day. And we're not saying that. We're not saying that any leader is perfect. We're not saying that any organization is perfect. But I think what we are saying here is that engaged employees, deep in relationships, and while we may not have metrics from a poll or from research that shows exactly how it impacts it, you know it's going to impact the organization in a positive way.
I agree 100%. It's worth the effort to show that you care about your employees, and that's an action word. It's not something that can be done in a vacuum. And employees want to know they care, and that's really the bottom line of why does this matter. And if you want to go even further, look at the impact to the business when employees are not engaged.
Right.
And then that's an eye-opener, and that's the actual call to action for leaders to develop their teams to perform better.
Right. There you go. The cost of inaction is going to be greater if you let that happen. So. Well, Pam, what's next for you? What else are you working on? I know you mentioned your course, but are you working on anything else that excites you at the moment?
So I am working on the on-demand course, owning employee engagement, but I will also be developing additional tips throughout the year to help leaders easily identify ways that they can engage their teams through just a quick little pocketbook that they can have to refer, and it'll be available as well online.
Great. That's exciting. Excellent. So tell my audiences how they can find out more about you and get in touch with you.
Managers and aspiring people leaders can visit thepamweston.com, and there they can access a free download for 4 employee engagement strategies that managers can implement right now, even though we're in a pandemic. Also, there's an opportunity to purchase my book, Executive Briefing People Goals, which is the perfect guide for managers. And it's a toolkit that can help them along their journey for intentional leadership. And your listeners can also follow me on LinkedIn, where I share additional insights around employee engagement.
Great. And everybody, I'll put Pam's website and a link to her LinkedIn profile in the show notes as well. So they'll be there. So listen, one more question. If I had to force you to think of the single most important thing people should remember about employee engagement, what would you say it is, Pam?
Managers have to own their responsibility as people leaders. And that means being accountable, being intentional how you lead and interact so that you can connect with employees and develop meaningful relationships.
Awesome. Love that. Well, Pam, thank you so much for coming on the show today and sharing your wisdom with my listeners. I really appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much for having me, Michael. I enjoyed it.
That's it for this episode of the Leadership Communications Show. Thank you so much for listening. If you like the show, please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And if you think this show can help other people you know, please tell them about it too. To learn more about me and my work, head over to my websites at michaelpiperno.com and wearecomvia.com. While you're there, be sure to check out all of the leadership communication tips and tricks I share on my blogs. See you next time.